You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things U football and basketball.
Welcome to the U Talk podcast. As always, I'm Grant Bagby.
I'm Joseph Silverslack. How's everybody doing?
Yeah, so Joseph, coming in remote, as we could not find a time to get into studio. So, hey, earlier week of the podcast, just Joseph's on the phone. Either way, we've got some good things and some different things to talk about. But let's start off with, unfortunately, some sad news coming out of the U last night with a shooting that had the campus on lockdown from about 10, it seemed like 10 to almost midnight. But unfortunately, the sad news is that Lauren McCluskey was killed by an ex-boyfriend. And we just want to, you know, send our hearts and prayers, or however you want to say it, out to her family, to the track team, to the whole U campus and student body that are dealing with this. I will say we're going to have a little moment of silence here, but I do want to mention that the university has put out many ways that students and those who are feeling the strain and grief of this situation, that there are counselors and people that are available to be talked to, either whether it's a student athlete, student up there, or whatnot. Those resources are available to you, and please check the University of Utah social media feeds is where I've seen them at, and you know, just reach out. Before we go any further in the show, though, we want to have a few seconds of a moment of silence for Lauren. All right. Thanks, guys. I'm sure it's weird to be listening to silence as you're driving along listening to a podcast, but we felt that was the right thing to do. And let's get straight into our quick hitters. As always, we do our quick hitters first, little tidbits to talk about, and then we get into the bulk of what we're going to talk about, which, of course, is going to be Utah football right now. And to review, there's plenty coming up on the Utah schedule. Let me just... Well, where it went, I don't know. We do have a Friday night game this week, if we jump straight to the football schedule, a late night game on ESPN against UCLA. Other activities for the Utes, we've got soccer as well as playing UCLA, and then a big one coming down in volleyball tomorrow at the Huntsman Center. Is volleyball is taking on number 19 Washington State at 7 p.m. We've got some men's tennis is up over in Spokane against Gonzaga. Pac-12 cross country is happening in Stanford. And then another big volleyball meet is on the 26th at 6 p.m. Volleyball is playing number 21 Washington. So there's some big-time volleyball matches along with swimming, football, soccer, all going on right now. It is a busy time up for the athletic program. And so,
yeah, this is the best time of year for lots of sports. It's a lot of fun. It's always good stuff.
And basketball is right around the corner as well. So it should some good stuff coming. The other thing to note on the news is that the football team, Utes, swept the Pac-12 Player of the Week honors in offense with Tyler Huntley, defense and Chase Hansen, and special teams with Matt Gay this last week. So not only was it dominant on the field, but also in the weekly awards category as well.
I think only the fourth time since the inception of the Pac-12 that one team has won all three awards. So it wasn't just you fans who watched that game and thought, man, that was a dominant performance. It was everybody. I think it awoke quite a bit of national attention.
Yeah. I mean, that's the I don't know how to say it, fortunate thing of USC having a big name is when you beat them, no matter how down and out they are, it still catches people's attention. It also helped that game wasn't at midnight as well. But that doesn't hurt.
Yeah, and people watched it, had a decent start time, and I bet the ratings for it will be pretty good. And last time we eat on Twitter what the ratings were. But it was a really great. Utah's been making statements the last 2 weeks, but this was a statement that everybody heard. I think it shows, and they're being ranked this week and things like that.
Well, and the ranking thing, to continue this discussion, has kind of annoyed me to some extent. I mean, they beat a ranked opponent in Stanford, then they crush Arizona, and then they beat – maybe I've gotten that in the wrong order. I apologize if I did. And then they crush USC. It's like, when are they finally getting recognized? And it finally happened this week.
Well, and frankly, 23-24 is way too low for them. I mean, the advanced metrics have them as at least a top 15, if not a top 10 team. They're playing exceptionally well. They're beating teams. Apart from what, Clemson and Alabama, is there a hotter team in the country doing the kinds of things Utah's been doing over the last 3 weeks? And that's not to say they're Clemson or Alabama. They're not. They lost two games, and that's going to define their season in some ways. But over this last stretch, they've been playing like a top 10 team.
Yeah, they've been playing out of their minds.
And ranking 23rd is kind of insulting. But the speaking of the reaction to it, did you see the just a regular team is now a hashtag? Some dim bulb on USC, I can't remember the name of the player, just one of their starters, saying, "Oh yeah, they're just a regular team. They shouldn't beat us." And now all of the players are saying just a regular team, hashtag just a regular team, as they retweet their highlights. Like Huntley put out a highlight of that stiff arm he threw on number 7 down the sideline. I mean, that was a thing of beauty. I did not expect to see that out of Huntley. That was great. And with the just a regular team hashtag. So I think the Utes are going to be riding that just a regular team for at least a few weeks here, if not all season. Bradley and I tweeted it out that going to be riding this to the championship. So they're pretty pumped up. They're pretty confident, and they have that chip on their shoulder that makes Utah special.
Yeah, no, they totally do. It's been fun to watch. I mean, they saw the wide receivers saw themselves catch the ball finally, and the offense is clicking, and it is just, foot to the floor and drive it home. I mean, I loved how aggressive Whittingham's now calling things, saying that, even though the Utes are up big, that they need to really put their foot on the throat of these teams, and they're clearly doing it. It's been awesome to watch. But before we get into USC a little too much here, there's another quick hitter. Is that there were a few visitors at the game on Saturday.
It was a big week for both official and unofficial visits. Might miss one. We had Aaron Lowe, who's a cornerback commit. He said afterwards, "This is my first visit, going to be my last." That was awesome. So I feel really confident about his commitment, 3-star cornerback. Then there was two members of the Cajon trio. So we've got quarterback number one, ready to do quarterback in the country, Jaden Daniels. And he is Utah's absolute, especially after the Tuttle news last week, absolute number one top priority. They are not recruiting other quarterbacks. There isn't anybody available they're interested in. It's Jaden Daniels or both thoughts, pretty much. And his teammate, Daniel Fortune, not Daniel, but it's Fortune. He's a running back, another really nice player. And then they've already got the commit from the 6'9" wide receiver. You'll remember we talked about that a few weeks ago. So that's kind of this year's Hallandale trio. It's a quarterback, a wide receiver, and a running back who they're looking to bring in. Although Fortune is being recruited as an athlete, it wouldn't surprise me to see him playing safety or linebacker. down the road might be a little better skill set. There's also a big offensive lineman, Donovan West, who is out. He's playing his cards really close to the vest in terms of where he's going to go. He could be a Ute, but I don't think anybody has a feel for that. And then I know there were five. I can't remember who the fifth one was. There were a number of unofficial visitors, and it was just a lot of comments from them about the environment and the atmosphere of the game and just how extraordinary it was. It was the loudest. It was loudest I've ever heard the stadium. I've heard it pretty loud. But it was intense, and I think it's going to echo through the season in terms of their recruiting, and it's going to have an impact on other players, other particularly California players, I think. Although the biggest correlation between recruiting success and on-field success is consensus All-Americans and power conference championships. So if the Utes really want to capitalize on this victory, they've got to win the South, and then they've got to beat whoever comes out of the North and win the Pac-12, and I think that would change their recruiting profile going forward.
Yeah, no, I mean it'd be amazing for them to win this. I mean, look, everyone's won the South, but the Utes, it's their time, right? But I mean, their backs are against
the wall.
It's
been their time three times, so it's about dang time.
Yeah, true. I mean, I'm intrigued to see what happens though with all this recruiting, especially after Tuttle transferring. I mean, I got to apologize to our listeners. Due to technical issues, we did record an episode last week, and it just didn't make it onto the airwaves. And we talked about the Tuttle transfer, and it's interesting to hear how close to the vest Tuttle had shown that. I mean, Tyler Huntley even said that he didn't know anything about it, and they're in the same position group, and you know, Tyler thought they were close. So, that Jaden Daniels, getting him and having him at that game to – take advantage and of that atmosphere for recruiting purposes, got to be a great thing. So we'll see what happens. But nonetheless, another trio could only be a good thing based on what the Hallandale trio's doing this season now that things have gotten rolling.
Especially with Simpkins, who's the weak link. But
touchdown.
He was good last night. Right. Saturday night. Yeah, that touchdown would be cool.
Yeah, so speaking of USC – you know, there's this bandwagon watch we have on our board here, and it's the Fire Whip bandwagon. It seems to be losing some wheels, but look, the Utes should still fire.
We're going to stay on it because we've been on it since they beat Stanford by 20.
Yep. So
they were on it when they beat Arizona by a whole bunch. So we're just going to stay on this bandwagon until
Yeah, until the Utes win the Pac-12 South, we are riding that bandwagon. So hashtag firewood it is. Not that either of us actually think that should happen, but, well, under one condition.
We didn't want to have it happen weeks ago either, but.
Yeah, there's only one situation where I would see that as a legit answer, but that doesn't seem like it's going to happen anymore, so it doesn't matter. So, USC game. I don't know if you've heard of this guy, Joseph, this is a little quiz for you. Have you heard of the guy wearing number 22, Chase Hansen?
Chase Hansen. Oh, is he related to that BYU guy who's on the radio all the time, Hans something or other? I'm kidding. Yes, Chase Hansen. Oh, my gosh. Chase Hansen, who look at his stats. He's leading the nation in a lot of things. Tackle for loss, he's high up there. Sacks, he's high up there. He's got interceptions. He's got, I think, over 100 tackles. He's having an absolutely amazing season. And is just blowing everybody out of the water. It's been incredible. And I think it's worth thinking about if he's gonna earn some national hardware as well as some conference hardware, I think, is likely at this point, as long as he's been healthy. But it's an All-American type season, maybe even Defensive Player of the Year type season for Chase Hansen so far. So it's been pretty exciting to watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, he had the really close but called an interception, which was awesome play, and then the way he
It's in the stat books. It was perfect. That's I didn't think it was going to stick, but it did.
Yeah, Pac-12 hashtag Pac-12 refs got the right call. That's a weird thing to say.
So not to dwell on that too much, but USC is one of the most penalized teams in the entire country. Somehow they managed to get two penalties. There was a false start penalty on the last drive of the game and an excessive celebration penalty after the sack fumble. And that's it. So that's a pretty anomalous result to these 12 refs. They had a usually clean game at USC.
Yeah, and I was concerned not because I thought it was targeting, but just because of Pac-12 refs, that Chase's hit on JT Daniels would turn into a targeting call because he lit that kid up. It's unfortunate, caused a concussion, but the hit in the play was impressive to say the least.
Yeah, so I don't know if everybody knows this, but the JT Daniels is concussed. He's in the concussion protocol, probably won't play this week against ASU. And Spink, who was the second-string quarterback, got three ribs broken on his second or third play from scrimmage with I think it was Tupai. He leveled him. It might have been Tafua. And they're both out, so they're looking at their third-string quarterback, Jack Sears, to try and play against ASU, which is a tough game for them. They may lose that game. And it gives me these mixed feelings. I mean, on one hand, you really want your defense to play with incredible intensity and violence and aggression. At the same time, you really don't want guys getting hurt, missing games. And I don't know. So I hesitate to gloat about it, but it is nice to see that they're playing with so much intensity and ferocity, and that's how you want to be fun to play.
Yeah, no, I don't want to celebrate the fact that JT Daniels got concussed. Yeah. But it was a great play by Hansen, and I believe that hit resulted in an interception as well. So, So
if you go back and watch that play five or six times, watch what Chase Hansen does, which is extraordinary. Watch what Reki Fotu does on that play. I mean, he's just a monster on that play. He's so strong. And then if you have a chance, find a shot of the play where you can see how high Jalon Johnson jumps to get that interception. He has got to be 5 or 6 feet off the ground by the time he comes. And you're talking about high pointing the ball. It was unbelievable how high up he gets. And it's that kind of – it's the same thing with his pick six against Stanford. There are these moments with Jalon Johnson where you remember that he is – the highest-rated recruit that Utah's ever landed, that he is as an athlete far outshines anybody else on the roster, and he is so big and so strong and so fast. And you almost forget because he doesn't stand out as much as he would on a lot of teams because Guidry and Blackman are so good and the safeties are so good. So when he does things like that, my jaw drops open. He's an amazing, amazing talent.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to Guidry getting that INT. I kind of want it to happen in the Utes red zone. He gets an INT and runs it back for a touchdown because I just want to see his speed. Just want to see
him. Right, you just want 90 yards of space out in front of Guidry because he is so fast.
Yep, I just want to see everyone in the dust.
And it would be really fun to take a break and run away with one. And he was so close against Arizona. He dropped a surefire pick six, so that was frustrating. But he'll get his chances if the ball is the easier playing.
Yeah, no, exactly. The other, I mean, look, the fact that the Utes clean sweeped the player of the week honors, but I will bring up, it's like at one point there was question of Huntley in the offense and the wide receivers, and here we are dropping 40 plus three straight weeks, and the Huntley has, I feel like he's improved week over week, and they've been dropping 40 points each time. I don't know where it was that flipped the switch, but he has been playing out of his mind lately, and especially against USC.
Yeah. Last year, I remember when Darren Carrington went out there and for a post-game press conference, and I can't remember which game it was, but And she said, he reminds me of a quarterback who I played with before. And everybody said, well, who? And he didn't want to say, but it was Marcus Mariota. And at the time, you're like, okay, all right, let's all just, like, reel that in a little bit. And you still want to reel that in because Marcus Mariota is one of the greatest college football players ever, period. But you're starting to see what he was talking about specifically, that he's so good on the run. He's so good throwing off the run, and he can throw it 70 yards off his back foot, and it makes him so hard to stop. And you're starting to see that he's got the confidence to say, I can break out of the tackle and I can curl it 46 yards downfield to a tight end on the 4-yard line in circumstances that nobody else could do. Almost nobody else could actually do the things that he does. And as he starts to realize how special he is, it gets even more exciting. And he still hasn't done the thing that you worry about with a player like him, which is take too many risks. I think he's at 11-3 right now, touchdown to interception ratio. His completion percentage is through the roof. He's making really good decisions. He's not throwing into bad situations. He's playing really, really well and still doing the Johnny Manziel, Marcus Mariota kind of stuff that just, you know, makes you have to screw your jaw back on because he's so athletic and unstoppable. And we saw it. We're just seeing it again and again and again. And I mean, I guess the caution would be, and we talked about way, way back when they were losing games, and we were talking about the bell curve. And I was saying, well, this is the left side of the bell curve. This is where they're underperforming their expectations. There's going to be a right side of the bell curve where they're overperforming expectations. And that's what we're seeing right now. But I think it's important to remember that if you're doing things like he's doing, if you're spinning out of three tackles, running half across the field, throwing over the other way across the field off the back foot, that ball's going to get picked off sometimes. There's stuff falling from the center. And you're going to say, why didn't you use the hot route to Zach Moss that was 4 yards away? That stuff is going to happen and probably happen this season. And you just have to be ready for it and remember that the Utes have played not just the first four games and not just the last three games either. They're the whole that's the whole team. That all seven of the games are part of the team, and you can kind of expect them to be somewhere in there on any given Saturday.
Yeah, just to give you a little thing, he's 130 of 198 passing, so around 66%. Completion rate, and he's thrown 11 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. But yeah, I mean, Huntley's been great. I do wish, and I think that's the point that a quarterback really clicks, is when they're able to take those high risk plays, but also you see them make the dump down passes to the 4-yard shot to Moss or whatever, so that mm-hmm. we're not picking up that interception and things related to that. But you know, that's maybe the next step.
So far, that seems to be what's happening. You know, there are times when it works and times when it doesn't work as well. But he seems to be making really good decisions, or at least has been the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, for sure. Well, speaking of Huntley, next, this coming Friday, he is facing the vaunted, very talented UCLA defense. Which happens.
If I hadn't seen with my own eyes that all of these guys had two arms, I wouldn't believe it based on how bad they are tackling. I mean, it's unbelievable how far players can get down the field with the ball without getting stopped. It's just baffling to watch them try to tackle.
So, do you know where their defense ranks in the Pac-12?
I don't.
So
you're the stats guy, Grant. You tell me.
We're switching roles for a minute. This is scary. But rushing defense 10th, passing defense 8th, total defense 10th. So if I'm a Utah offensive player, I am licking my chops because their worst asset is the rushing defense. Oh, wait. Hold on a second. Let me just scroll up to the rankings for the Utah offense. oh, our rushing offense happens to be our best part of our offensive game, fourth in the Pac-12. And then even that, like our pass, our scoring offense is fourth versus their 10th, or is it 11th? Hold on. 11th scoring, like, I know that's not really comparable, but nonetheless, like, if this offense is going to continue a streak of scoring 40-plus, UCLA is a team that can totally allow the Utes to do that. And I'm looking at my chops.
You should never expect 40, but it's just well within the realm of possibility. It's hard to score 40 points against Stanford. It's hard to score 40 points against USC, even when they're not very good, or not as good as they usually are. It's easy to score 40 points against UCLA. The thing I like about it, I mean, the numbers certainly back this up, but you watch them play, and it's the things that are wrong with their defense that makes them bad at these stats are the exact things that Utah exploits in their offense. It's positioning, it's tackling, it's assignments. The athletes are there. The problem is they're on the field, but they're not on the field where they're supposed to be. And they're not doing what they're supposed to do when they're there. And it's just right for the picking if you've got a passing offense that emphasizes screens and short dump offs and long runs. I mean, I think Covey is going to have an absolute field day. They're not going to be able to bring him down. Moss, obviously. I'm really interested to see what TJ Green does.
He looked good.
I've talked about. He does look good. He's one of these guys who you hear about in practice and like, oh, we thought he was going to be such a good player, but he's not bringing it, you know, and so we're just not sure that he's there. And then there were a couple of fumbles early on. Shine had a fumble. I can't remember the other kid's name, but he had a fumble as well. And they finally were, all right, TJ, you know, go out there and see what you can do. And once the lights are on, the guy's a baller. And he's earned a lot of playing time, and it's a real nice change of pace. Ultimately, he's going to be a full feature every down back like Zach Moss is. He's going to put on some weight. He's going to be a big, strong, bulldozer of a guy. But right now, at 18, 19 years old, he's definitely the lightning to Zach Moss's thunder. And they've used him really well out on the edge and things like that. And I think he's going to have an absolute field day. And if it were me, I have this weird idea that you should rest your football players and that you should tell Zach Moss today, you should say, look, I don't want you running gassers this week. I don't want you taking contact this week. You're going to take it easy. You're not going to play against UCLA. We'll see you in 2 weeks. We've got this. Shine and Green are going to be great. And, you know, that's not the way the football works. It's not the way Kyle Whittingham works. So I don't think that's going to happen. But I'd like to see them take his carries down a little bit and let the other running backs go because their skill set's honestly a little better suited to exploiting what UCLA does poorly. And just I want Moss so fresh for this home stretch here because he's going to be essential when it comes time to beat Oregon, and that's something Utah is going to have to do.
Yeah, and I think there's this month that comes after October called November. That
I'm not worried about November. Look at the teams they've played, and look at the teams they're playing. It's just so different. There's no number 22 Oregon. There's no number 12 Washington. There's just not that many good teams, and I don't think Oregon's that good either, especially on the road.
Well, and I'm fine with that. But the last couple seasons,
but you're still
there's
scared.
Been an issue in November. So what I'm saying is I back up your mentality, right? We're playing UCLA. Moss plays a little bit. The score, we build a padded lead. Even if without the lead, you know, you're rotating Shine and Green in there more than you would normally because we want to save.
Yeah, I would wait. That's the thing I would do differently. I wouldn't wait till there was a lead. I would just...
No, and I said, I did correct myself. Mr. Driving on the phone is that I think Moss plays, but you rotate in those other two players more and lessen that load he's been carrying in reserving him because every hit he's taking, which is plenty of them, granted he is a beast of a man, as you love to tell people about, but we don't want to set him up to lose, per se, or to get, like, risk injury is my point. But nonetheless, this offense should be just fine against the UCLA defense.
Yeah. And then on the other side of the ball, Utah has a huge edge there. I don't think we need to tell Utah fans this, based on the way the season has gone, based on preseason expectations, this should be a curb stop for the football game for the Utes. Whether it will or not, we'll see on Friday. But it should be. And they're lost on offense as well. They don't have a running back. Their receivers haven't broken out. The O-line isn't playing well. And quarterback right now is a mess. They started out with Wilson State, who Utah almost played when he was a quarterback for Michigan, but he was injured in 2015. They started out with Wilton Spate, and he played about three downs of football in the first game before he went down with an injury, and they brought in highly talented phenom, true freshman, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. And he's been fine. I mean, he's been playing pretty well. Lots of freshmen hiccups, lots of issues. Then he goes down with injury. Spate comes back in. He ultimately took the job away from Spate. Spate comes back in, played pretty well against Arizona. Arizona had no business losing that game. There were a couple of crazy fluky plays. There was one where J.J. Taylor was on the one-yard line after about a 60-yard touchdown run, got caught from behind by a safety, fumbled the ball into the end zone, wound up being UCLA on 20 instead of Arizona touchdown, and that's a 14-point swing. You almost never get plays like that. Through not really any business even beating Arizona, and it almost doesn't matter. I mean, the big thing is that neither of their quarterbacks are very good. They're both playing hurt. They don't have a third option. The third option announced he was going to transfer in spring. There is nobody behind them. If they should happen to knock out another quarterback, DTR doesn't start, and they knock out Spate, who is an immobile, pocket statue kind of guy, they're not going to have a quarterback. They don't know if they'll do Wildcat or if they probably got a walk-on. But it's going to get really, really fast if they can't keep their quarterback clean. And I don't think they can. I think the Utes defensive line is gonna pound whatever poor soul is condemned to be sent out against that Utah defense is gonna get wrecked, and they're not gonna have an option.
Yeah, no one's gonna disagree with that. Well, look, it seems like we're both predicting wins. Do you want to throw a score with that prediction?
Yeah, I'm really on my sort of hedging my bets kick at this point. Of course, I was with USC as well. I picked a 6-point win when we were talking. I picked an 8-point win in my article, which is about what the spread was. The spread here is about 10 points Utah favored. I think they're going to do a little better than that. I think they're going to just fall short of the 40-point marker. I think it's going to be 38-24
Utes. All right, I like your 38, but I'm going to say they beat the 40 marker, and they'll get another field goal, go 41 again. And I think they whoop up on UCLA even more, and they don't even break 20. So I'm saying they're UCLA 17.
I think that is, because you're saying 4-17, I think that is well within possibility, maybe even more likely. I'm just kind of feeling like they're due for a little bit of a downturn. It's going to be a little bit closer. But I don't know why. They're one of the best. They're playing at one of the best teams in the entire country right now. And I can't escape the thought that, but for some wacky flags against Washington State, or if they had USC's schedule, they'd be headed to playoffs.
All right, well, I guess we'll see what happens. Nonetheless, Utes are supposed to win Friday. Both Joseph and I have called it. We called last week's game as well, since you didn't hear that. And until
but we got
time,
it right.
Go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to U Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter at U Talk Podcast or email at utalk@gmail.com.